Hello. Guess what someone told me?
What?
So I was at the Brownlow.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a footy player, and he said that he recorded a whole episode of a podcast.
Yeah.
And didn't press record.
Oh no! That's our like deepest, yes, darkest fear.
I just thought about it then because remember last week, I pressed it, but it didn't press down.
Yeah.
And then you were like, hang on, and you checked, and that was, yeah, really lucky. But apparently that happened because I was like, oh, I loved your episode of Dylan Friends, which, yeah, is my favourite AFL podcast. This player's name is Mitch Robinson. And he was like, yeah, how about how he forgot to press record?
Oh, my God.
And so we did the whole episode. I was like, it sounded very natural, though.
I know.
It didn't sound like we'd just gone through everything. But he's like, maybe that's why my answers were so good.
Yeah,
because you've just done it.
You're like, well, I fucked that bit up.
Oh, my God, what a nightmare.
Oh, no thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about, mm-hmm, today's case. I don't, yes, know what it is.
You don't know what it
That's
is.
That's why I'm so excited.
And it's really, I have 13 pages
Look
of shit.
Look at all these pages. I'm going to zoom in
when
on
When do
pages.
I ever have so many
Remember that time
pages? I'm flipping them around for you.
Remember that time you printed them out, yeah, on A3?
I'd never forget.
Huge pages.
I'm just showing you.
Look at these.
Look at all that paper. There.
Get that paper.
Yeah, so it was a meatier one than expected.
Yeah.
When is it not for me? I always go, oh, this easy fucking case.
And
I'll do that.
Like,
it's not
Googling,
so...
Googling the CIA at your desk.
That was proper hell. But yes, we can just jump into it. Do you have anything you,
yeah,
want to talk about?
Yeah, I do have something
I'll
to
go.
Talk about.
What?
I fucked up twice.
Oh, what have you done?
In the... the last episode.
Oh, yes.
Like... I'm really sorry to everyone for the last episode because in the live show of that episode,
mm-hmm,
someone yelled out, who covered them up with cardboard and,
yeah,
and clothes? And I was like, oh, I didn't write that down. But basically some elderly gentleman had like found them and I don't think he knew that they were dead and he just covered them up. I kept walking and this came out years later.
Like he thought they'd just passed out.
Yeah, because there was like shit and vomit everywhere.
Yeah.
And like they were naked. So he was just like, oh, and he was like walking his dog or something. So then I didn't have that in my notes for the live show. Someone yelled it out, so I addressed it.
Yeah.
Then I just used those notes again. So then I once again missed this crucial part of piece of information, which kind of like if you look at that element, because that's one of the most mysterious elements of the whole case. But
yes,
if you're like, okay, that old guy did it, then you might think that they died because of the poisonous gases rather,
yes,
than someone else being involved.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because it doesn't make any sense. But we both,
yes,
just conveniently forgot
we
about
forgot
it in the middle of the...
We were just carried away on sex
carried away
carpets.
On the sex carpet.
So I just wanted to address that.
Mm.
For everyone.
It's quite a big point, isn't it? But
listened,
there we are. You know what? It's amazing that people are actually listening. I always just thought people put us on and then didn't actually
kind
pay
of like
attention.
Faffed around in the kitchen.
Yeah, but they're very, yeah, it makes me anxious.
Yeah, now
all the facts
that
I'm constantly missing.
Now that we can't miss any details at all.
Yeah, it's like there's no room for error. You, yeah, you find out everything. You guys are like miniature sleuths just doing all the. Remember that time I couldn't work out in. Oh, I've forgotten the name of the episode, and it was the people in the town in the suburb that I thought was posh, but is actually super bogan.
Oh yeah,
and then
I was like, "Is it like Parramatta?"
It was like cashed
Turns
up
out
bogan.
It was like,
yeah,
Parramatta.
Exactly. And then I was like, and there were three people that had access, oh, to the safe, and I cannot work out who the third person is.
Mm.
And then someone's like, "It's right here in this article," and it was an article I'd even read. So I was just like, "Fuck you, Mel! Like you're so shit."
Yeah, but it wasn't
we're really
like...
proving the haters wrong that we shouldn't have a podcast because we're terrible. I don't care though, but we do. So sucked in haters.
Yeah,
I'm
this
sipping
is our,
my water. Really,
this is our vibe. You've got water. I've got tea. Sipping it sassily. Did I tell you about my dream last night?
No.
I had a dream that a cheese van came to the street. I think it was outside work or near my house. I don't know.
Yeah.
Where I was, but it was like this, like a food truck.
Yeah.
But it was all just like amazing cheeses. And
that's
I was
a great idea.
So upset because they were all soft, like,
oh,
French imported cheeses.
Oh, that's so mean in
and,
a dream.
Yeah, and I was upset in the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you would be in real life.
But it was such a vivid, strange dream. I must be craving cheese.
If that's not invented, someone get,
yeah,
on it.
A food truck that's just, it was like a posh French deli type,
yes,
thing on wheels.
It's not even hard to do. No. That's like the easiest thing to do. You don't have to cook anything.
It was amazing. And they kind of stopped the truck and then they had these things that kind of folded out. So it became like a big.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they served like baguettes with stuff on it.
With cheese. I would definitely eat a brie baguette.
Ham and stuff.
Oh, my God. Yum. Yeah. I want the cheese van to exist and drive.
Maybe I had the dream because that's supposed to be my next job.
Is to own a cheese van.
So maybe we need to edit all of this out because I've come up with the best idea.
Where do we start here? This is like my truck driving dream. You need to know about cheese first. You don't know anything about cheese. I'm not except that you like eating it.
Cheesemonger.
Yeah, cheesemonger.
Isn't that what they're called? Like a
fishmonger's a fish. Yeah, it should be. Cheesemonger.
I think it is.
I think it's just cheese maker. Is it? But then like what if you don't want to make them? You just want to like invest
you
in them.
You want to be the expert.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to have a cheese shop. It is a dream of mine.
It would be a great job, frankly.
Mm-hmm. I love going to that place and wine in Surrey shop, Hills where they talk about cheese. That's the first thing I'm doing when I pop out the kid.
Straight there. All your soft cheeses, please. Yeah,
leave the kid at home
with Julie.
The most
whiny wine.
Just go by myself. Cheese tasting night. The weirdest flex on earth. Do you have anything else to say?
No, except that now I want the most whiny wine that you have on a shirt because I just, that's such a mood for me.
The most whiny wine. Yeah.
Actually, the way that I always do it is like, I'm always like, what wine tastes like water? Give me that one.
Oh, yeah.
I want the drink. I want them to make a session wine. You know how they're session ales?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to drink them because it's like when you're going to be drinking for ages and you can keep going.
Yeah.
I want that, but fucking wine. Like, yeah, I pick my wine based on session wine. Like, how least does this taste like wine? I want it to taste the least like wine and the closest thing to water. The other day I was like, oh, are we getting shots? We should get sake because it tastes like water. That's my general vibe on all alcohol. Is this is a terrible example for anyone that's listening. Yes. That's like not
if you're underage or you're an alcoholic, never don't drink. Listen to those things Mel just said.
All right, I'm gonna get into it. There's so much to go through here. This is a very meaty case. I gave Josie some clues. I said moida. I said say murder like it's spelt like M-O-I-D-A-H, which in my head was like moida.
Yeah, and I said it out loud at my desk.
Yeah.
But quietly, I was like moida.
Yeah, which sounds even
but
better.
But no one heard.
Moida. And then I said Queensland's involved. And then I said, but I threw off the scent by saying it's not necessarily set in Queensland. Psych, it totally is set in Queensland.
Oh, no, you lied to my face.
I lied to your face. I didn't actually because I was home, but yeah, I lied,
lied to
your
to
internet face.
Via your Messenger.
Your little face on Messenger, I lied straight at it.
How dare you?
How dare you? And then what was the third clue I said? Oh, I said the government is involved.
Yes, the government.
So I'm doing the Gatton murders.
Oh, yeah. I don't know much about them. I've heard about them, but I don't know any details.
So I decided to do them because I was like, oh, it's old-timey. That'll be like a bit of a change. We haven't done an old-timey thing since like bloody – the closest I would say would be Wilgal Waterhole maybe.
Yeah.
Probably the oldest old-timey that we've done. And that's why I said moida because I just decided that they will talk like that. There's been a moida.
Oh,
I don't know why.
They were American.
No, I don't – in my head that's how they talk. There's been a moira, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everybody get down to the town square. I don't know. Now they're American.
You're American
I don't
again.
Know. I don't know. Like Irish, maybe?
I was picturing someone from Brooklyn. Moira.
Moira.
Quaffy.
That actually probably makes more sense than my theory. But anyway, that's why I said that.
Yeah, you really threw me off. I thought an American got moided.
It's terrible clues. That
not
I gave
in
you.
Queensland.
Yes.
By the government.
Well, that's no.
So I was way
no,
off.
No to any of that. We are in Queensland, though. We're in Gatton, Queensland. I'll get through my credits first. So I've got gattonmurder.com. Does what it says on the tin.
Wow, that's pretty straightforward.
That whoever runs that site is like...
no nonsense.
Unhinged.
Oh.
But also only knows GeoCities circa 2001.
Oh.
I know, but also is a genius. It's like a multiple. I was like, I need to meet this person. There's so many areas on the site, and some of them you'll find out I can't even decipher exactly what they're trying to say.
Right.
Like they sort of have this whole area on like theories, and I went in there, and then there's all these sub areas, and you'll see. I'll shove the link in the Facebook group, which if you're just new to this. Is All Aussie Mystery Hour on Facebook. Come and join. We're super fun. At the moment, it's not a probo mean group, but who knows what will happen in the future.
It's actually sweet. Did you see what someone said today?
Yeah.
because, backstory, some lovely zesty member of the group who lives in the US, Sarah, sent me a present for my baby.
It's the cutest thing ever.
That her mum had knitted while going through chemo, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And sent it to me. It's and so then cute. I forced my cat, who is the more chill of my two cats. Like, yeah. It would have been more impressive if I'd managed to get Zoe into the blanket. But I kind of like, he was annoying Julian this morning. So I took him off Julian and I like whacked him down on his back and like swaddled him. And he was a bit like, oh. And then as soon as I picked him up, he started purring. He loves the blanket.
Loves the blanket.
Magic blanket. Anyway, put the photo in. And someone said, this is the best group I'm a part of. It's so, people are so kind and sweet and it's just a really positive place. So let's hope we can keep that going.
Oh, I reckon we've at least got 2,000 more people in us.
Yeah, there's 7,000 at the moment.
We get to 10,000. We'll see how we go after that. That might get a bit touchy after that. But anyway, the point being, it's really great in there and I'll put all these links in there. But I did use Wikipedia first and foremost for a lot of it. There was also a Brisbane Times article from 2013 by Natalie Bachensky. And this other website called unsolvedcasebook.com, which I don't even know what the background is there.
I like it though.
It's such an old case. There are really old newspaper articles, but it doesn't really help with anything. So yeah, I don't know where Unsolved Casebook comes from, but
it sounds like a time.
But yeah. But yeah, so they're the credits and I'll put them in the group for you guys to read, especially gattonmurder.com, which is a great website.
Sounds like a bit of a like rabbit hole, that website.
Yeah, very much is.
Kind of like Rex Gilroy's Unexplained Australia or whatever.
Similar
it's
vibe, but just specifically the Gatton Murder. Yes. So basically we're in Gatton, Queensland, and it's near Toowoomba.
Okay.
Here's geographical Mel. So Toowoomba's not part of Brisbane like I thought it was. Not in Brisbane.
I definitely thought it was.
Did you? Great. Yeah. Okay, oh my God. I thought you were going to say, no, I definitely didn't think it was. And I thought I was stupid.
I thought it was like...
like on the edge?
Hornsby.
Yeah. I think that's Ipswich.
Right.
And I think Toowoomba is not that.
So how far away is it from Brisbane?
Right. It's just inland and a bit down.
Okay. And oh, down. I thought it was up.
So no, I know nothing. No, it's down a little and inland. Yeah. But I've been there and I don't know why I thought it was in Brisbane because I've actually been there. But we're in, it's 1898, so it's like the ye oldies.
This is old timey.
We are in the fucking settlers, bitch.
We are back to that woman from Wilga Waterhole sweeping her hut.
We are.
Tending the hut.
Tending to the hut with a sweep. Just a quick sweep and then twiddling her all thumbs day. For like 7 hours. All day I sweep.
This our one room hut.
Just sweep, sweep, sweep. So the Murphy family actually didn't live in Gatton. They lived. Okay. It's called the Gatton Murder because the murder happens in Gatton.
Mm-hmm.
But they lived just outside. So they owned a farm at Blackfellows Creek.
That's a horrible name for a creek.
It's a terrible racist name for a creek. But you know what? Back then, I'm sure that they were there and they're like, oh, look, here are some Indigenous Australians using near this creek. Why don't we shove them off it and then just call it Blackfellows Creek and then we'll build someone else's property on top of their land like we loved to do
in the old times. But it's fine because we named it after them.
It's totally fine, Josie.
How respectful is that?
They are going to be so stoked at the fact that they're all dead probably, but we named this after them. They don't have their home.
No.
And they're either dead or they've been put somewhere like really not ideal. But
they don't want to be at all.
We're so nice because we named it after them. It's so nice to do that. And this is 13 kilometres outside of Gatton.
Okay.
Closer toward north and Brisbane, sort of, a little. But it's only 13K, so it's not that far out.
I'm picturing it. You're really drawing a picture.
Oh, I know. I really looked at Google Maps for this. But Gatton itself had 449 people living in it Gatton had 449 people living in it as per the 1901 census.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, there wasn't a census, so that's like the first figured it out. I don't know if that's a lot or not many.
For
I don't
that
know.
Time.
Yeah, it's got 7,000 now, but it's obviously... Right. But at the time, it was absolutely pumping, Josie. It was the place to fucking be. It was like a little bit of a major stopover point in the road from Brizzy to Darling Downs, which apparently was another place to be. Don't even know where that is
now.
I don't know.
I was thinking, should I know that place?
I assume it has to do with the Murray-Darling River. Probably. I mean, Darling. Yeah, but Darling. Who knows?
That's far away, isn't it?
Well, not really, because that would be... The Murray Darling goes all the way to Bourke, I think.
Yes, right? It does. I went Bourke there.
Bourke is northwest. Because
my friend Bree lived there. She took us on a tour of the town. It was like, and here's the river, the end.
Yeah, literally.
End of tour.
That is the vibe out there. And it also had two major bridges and a railway line. And I think back in the day, if you that's had bridges
yeah.
and you had a railway yeah. line, you're fucking...
That's basically Sydney CBD.
Yeah, pretty much. So it was definitely like a happening area.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived just outside of it. And this family I'm talking about are Daniel and Mary Murphy. And they had 10 children.
Oh.
Fuck that woman's vagina, seriously. Like, I can't.
This is the thing, right? I've struggled in 2019
yes.
being pregnant for 21 weeks. 22, yes. actually, today. Yes. Like, this has been the struggle of my life with yeah. all the comforts of modern society.
Yeah.
It's the struggle of my life. Like, how did she do this in her hut?
I know. I say fuck this woman's vagina with a lot of respect.
Like, 10 times.
I'm so impressed.
And, like... Her husband, I don't know, but I don't think he would have been woke, you know.
No, he's probably out fucking, like...
Like, he wouldn't have cared if she land. Felt sick or, like, yes. wanted a calippo.
He'd be like, sorry, where's hours? My mutton and lamb, mutton, yeah. lamb and peas and mash?
What a fucking hero that woman
I know.
Is.
I don't know why I've decided Daniel's, like, a real asshole, yeah. but, like, I've just decided that he's just constantly mash. Demands mutton and lamb, which is, I think, the same thing,
it's just except like an adult. Older one.
I want my mutton and my lamb. And I want mash and peas
oh, now every I day. Mash and peas. You know, I want mutton and lamb. And
I want that whole meal. I will eat the adult sheep and the baby sheep. I'm
you
happy
can
to
have
that.
I'll just have the mash and peas.
We could half some it gravy. And I'll give you like half the mash, 3/4 of the mash you can have.
Oh, and, that's nice of you.
Well, I just feel like if you're not eating yeah. the mutton and the lamb.
Like I need some sustenance.
It needs to be a fair split. So. So I don't know why I've decided that. There's no reason for Daniel to be an asshole. Okay. Michael and Daniel Jr. were the oldest and they'd moved out by 1898. Michael was working on a government experimental farm. Mm. What the fuck is that? Near Westbrook.
It's the farm from the start of Pineapple Express.
Yeah. Experimental farm.
Where Bill Hader has the joint.
Yes.
Joint? Yeah.
Yeah.
Movies about weed.
That would be what it is, yes.
Sorry, stale reference.
And that's on the other side of Toowoomba from where Blackfellows Creek is. And then Daniel Jr. had gone to Brizzy to be a police constable. So there were 8 other kids who were John, Jeremy, Patrick, William, Polly, Nora, Teresa, but she was called Ellen, and Catherine. So I'm just going to call her Ellen. I know, sense. It makes no sense. And she's never getting called Teresa again. I just right. have to, like, for facts purposes, yep. facts only, mm-hmm. had to call her that. So Michael is 29 and he comes home from for the Chrissy holidays in 1898
mm-hmm.
from the other side of town. So Michael's the one that's
doing
the experimental
the
farm.
Government mm-hmm. weed mm-hmm. farm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As a side note, the description of Michael from GattonMurders.com is, quote, he was a big, powerful man, 5'10" in height, a thorough bushman and an excellent horseman.
He sounds hot.
Hot, right?
Except short.
Short and hot, but probably tall for that time. Yeah. They were all short back then.
Yeah.
Like I would not be 5'8" or whatever I am now.
He
I would have been
probably
like 5'3".
Probably in 2019 terms, he's like 6'4".
Oh, he's sexy. Michael's yep. sexy.
And he has a secret government yes, job, which makes hot. Him 4 times sexier.
Excellent horseman, triple hot. Oh, you can fucking write. He's probably like doing that weird thing where you flip over the horse from one side to the other and like standing up on it doing like warrior pose
thighs.
From yoga.
He'd have great thighs.
He would have good thighs.
I like men's thighs.
And like arms, like good biceps yeah. from like. Riding constantly. You have a good back.
We're just going to pause this for a minute to have a cold shower.
We're just going to be back.
I'm very hormonal. I don't know what your excuse is.
I don't
is.
Have an excuse. I have no excuse. So on Boxing Day, he took his sisters Ellen, who was 19, and Nora, who was 27, to the Mount Sylvia races in nearby Caffey. That's an 18-minute drive now. I literally did on Google, like, how long does it take me to get from Gatton to Caffey? And so that seems like a really long trip in a horse and cart.
Yeah, that would take a while.
Like that, and they did have horse and cart, I checked.
That would be quite the outing.
It's quite the outing. And then it says, the next information that I have is that at 8 p.m. they left home. So they must have come back and then gone back out again. And they went to a dance in nearby Gatton Hall. So this time they go into Gatton to go to a dance. Right?
You know what I'm picturing? Mm-hmm. Pride and Prejudice, but with Australian accents.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Where everyone's like...
Yes.
Really, and it's like,
that,
ochre.
It's that sad ball they have at the beginning of the movie with Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
And it's in the barn.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm imagining. Yes. There needs to be more bush dances. This is a thing.
Yeah.
When I was going around Australia, I was trying to find...
You wanted to go to one?
I wanted to go to B&S ball.
And do your Russell Coit dance?
Absolutely, yes. I'd do my Russell Coit dance in the middle and everyone, all the boys would want me.
Oh,
I'd have a farmer boyfriend in 2 seconds that way.
Yeah.
I know, that is so true. Devastating.
They should do a female farmer wants a wife.
Oh, but I'm not a farmer.
What City girl really wants need. A farmer.
City girl wants a farmer. That's so much less interesting to everyone.
We'll workshop the title.
Farmer wants a wife still on?
No. I think they should bring it back.
They should. I should email them personally and say, I will be your number one contestant on that show.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they arrived around 9 p.m. to the hall and they found out it was cancelled. So they started the journey home.
Oh, my God, because you can't just Google, like, is the dance still on?
It's not like a Facebook event where they cancel it and then you get a notification. And you're like, fuck, I had that all planned tonight and I was going to go meet up with Gloria down
there.
They
had their, like, good corsets on and their hoop skirts.
Yeah, they got all tizzied up.
Horse and cart after a long day of tending the heart.
The horse is tired because he's been riding around all day.
He has because they came home.
I know. But they never made it home. So early the following morning, everyone gets up to feed the chooks or whatever the fuck they do in farms in the morning.
Tend the hut.
Pull udders and like touch hay.
Yeah.
Fix fences. Why are they always fixing fences?
There's always a broken fence in McLeod's Daughters.
There's always a broken fence. It's just constant broken fences. Always. I'm just like, surely on farms you're not constantly just going, okay, time to check the entire perimeter of all the fence. Like, that seems odd to me.
Especially if you had a very large farm. That would take a long time.
I know. But maybe that's what you have to do. Maybe as soon as you start.
I guess you have to because fucked somewhere if all else. Your fucking livestock run off, then you don't have a farm.
Yeah.
The fence is very important.
So all day, every day, you just ride the perimeter of the fence. That's so weird to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
What a life.
Farmers,
you've got a weird
life. Do you
really
want
this life now?
I do, actually. I was thinking about that just then and I was like, it would be quite nice just ride the fence on a horse all day in the sun with my Akubra on.
Yeah.
Like,
you'd get great thighs and biceps.
Could listen to heaps of podcasts. It's a good time. I'd get great thighs and abs and arms and back. I'd get muscles everywhere.
Just you'd be fucking
muscle,
ripped.
Muscle Mason over here. But anyway, so the 27th, they all get up. And Mrs. Murphy's a bit worried, so she asks her son-in-law, William Meneal is his name.
Meneal.
Like, m'lady, but Meneal.
Meneal.
Yep.
Stop it.
Yep. So he's married to her eldest daughter, Polly.
Uh-huh.
So she asks him to go to Gatton to find out why they hadn't returned, and also because Michael had borrowed Meneal's sulky, which is horse and cart. Meneal.
Meneal.
I know. So I guess they were thinking, oh, Meneal's going to, like, know if he sees the sulky, he'll know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I hate
so
this.
He's going down to Gatton on Tent Hill Road, and he recognises his sulky's distinctive tracks because one of the wheels was wobbly. So he sees this track and he's like, that's it, because the track looks a bit skew-iff on the side. And it turns off onto a road that's through a slip rail. So I had to Google this. It's like when you can take the railings out of a fence. So it's kind of like you can fit. It's almost like a gate, essentially.
Right.
But,
oh, yes.
But a ye olde gate, I guess. Maybe. Or a secret gate. Who fucking knows? Something. And there's like another little road.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes down that road. And it's this winding trail through wattle scrub. And then about a kilometre away, he finds them on the ground and he thinks that they're just sleeping, which, like, I guess yes, because maybe they like gotten on the pierce or something. And he's like, oh, you fucking
so he put
dumb
some beer
cunts.
Cartons over them,
so
some
he just
clothes,
just covered them up
and then he
walked
left
away.
Put a sex carpet over them,
just a little sex carpet down. But no, he sees ants crawling on them and realizes they're dead.
Oh my god, yuck.
So we're now in a field 2 kilometers out of Gatton on a property
off some little weird side road.
So then they're all, oh, I left my drawing for you. I was going to show you my drawing.
Was,
I'll just do it again.
There was a diagram.
I'll put it in the group. So Michael and Ellen were lying back to back within half a meter of each other.
Wait, sitting up?
No,
oh, no,
lying
right.
down.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Nora lay in the same direction as them on a neatly spread rug 8 meters to the east of them.
There was a rug.
There was a rug.
What the fuck?
Well, it gets a bit fucked, the rug. like not fucked literally, it just is like a bit fucked up. So she's about 8 meters to the east. Uh-huh. And then both women had their hands tied behind their backs with handkerchiefs.
No. Mm-hmm.
And then forming a triangle, the sulky face south, about 5.3 meters from Michael and 11 from Nora. So it's kind of like they've made like a, it's made in like a triangle shape.
That's really creepy.
Yeah. And the horse had been shot in the head and lay between the shafts. So the horse is dead. Yes.
I hate that.
Weirdly, all of their legs were arranged with the feet pointing west.
No, this is weird.
Which is weird.
This is some weird, like, satanic weirdness.
Mm-hmm. So Menil then contacts the acting sergeant William Arrell at 9:15 a.m.
So he would have had to ride somewhere to do this.
Yeah, probably. He's, like, galloped off.
Fucking hell.
He was the guy in charge of Gatton Police Station at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them then rode back to the crime scene where they stayed for 30 minutes before Arrell, the sergeant, returned back to Gatton to send a telegram to the Brisbane Commissioner of Police. And then Arrell kind of fucks it up. There's a lot of people fucking shit up in this story. So
this doesn't surprise me because it was ye olde times.
Yeah. But even for the time, like in all the news reports, they're like basically like, and then everyone fucked it up. And I don't know why these people did this. And it's right. Like even for the time they fucked it.
God.
Let alone ye olde times, you know?
Yeah.
So Arrell took no notes while at the site.
Oh, love
he
that.
Didn't interview anyone present and he made no effort to protect the site from the large number of people who congregated. So back in Gatton Station, Arrell telegrammed Brisbane Police and he asked for it to be marked urgent only to be told that the police had no authority to send urgent telegrams, but that wasn't correct. And later, there's a Royal Commission that comes later that I'll tell you about. He was criticised for not even knowing that he had the authority. Like, he doesn't even know the own rules of his own department.
God. And like I'm not even a police officer. I know the first thing to do is to secure the crime scene.
Yes.
That's the first thing you do.
Ever.
You would grab... When that man came to say, oh, my God, I've found everyone dead, grab more people, go out there, secure the crime scene.
Yeah.
That's
get people to back off.
101.
Like, the fact that people were just walking around and were, like, able to just,
and
like, look at
that.
The bodies.
I actually hate
so weird.
That for the victims. That's so disrespectful.
Oh, it's disgusting, yeah.
No dignity even in death.
Arrell was also chastised for waiting for the reply from Brisbane instead of going back immediately to the site with arrangements for the reply to be sent to him. So then he just waited at the telegram station.
Like, doll, delegate that task.
Yes, delegation.
You're the boss.
I know.
Get your underling to bring you the telegram.
Exactly. So it came through at 12:52, but because it was a holiday, it wasn't open till 9 a.m. the next day. So it got to Brisbane. At 12:52 p.m. that day.
But they didn't
open it. They are on holidays, so they didn't open it till the next day, right?
Who are these people?
So, the investigating officers didn't arrive for 48 hours after the discovery of the bodies. And it's quite weird because it's like Brizzy.
Yeah.
That's a capital, like it's a capital city.
Mm.
So you would think they would have people working on the holiday. But I guess maybe it's back then. Maybe that wasn't that weird. Mm. The main blame seems to go on Arrell with this whole bullshit.
Yeah.
This group of investigating officers was led by Inspector Charles Urquhart.
And they came from Brisbane?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the bodies were then moved to Gilbert's Hotel, which is so weird. And at about 4 p.m., Dr. von Lossberg, who was the government medical officer at Ipswich, the bit that's almost in Brisbane.
Right, and that sounds like a fake name.
It does.
Dr. von Lossberg.
I am Dr. von Lossberg. That's what it sounds like to me. Yeah. It reminds me of who's the doctor in The Simpsons?
I was going to say it reminds me of Futurama for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the doctor?
In The Simpsons. Nick Riviera.
Dr.
Nick Riviera is the charlatan, though.
Yes, he is.
So he's the government medical officer at Ipswich and he got there around 4 to 5 p.m. and began an autopsy. And he determined that Michael had been struck with a blunt instrument on the right side of the head. Ellen had had her skull fractured by two blows to the left side of her head. The wounds and the positions of the bodies when found indicated that Michael and Ellen were sitting upright and back to back when struck. So then they would have fallen to back, you know, like they would have fallen sideways. Nora had also been struck on the left side of her head, pulverizing her skull to the extent that her brain was protruding, which is awful. In addition, Nora had a harness strap tied around her neck, tight enough to have caused death. So, and then it was also alleged that both women had been raped. This is where it gets really upsetting. So in the absence of semen, based on evidence from Arrell, he said he found a pool of blood, which had turned the soil to mud, and stuck to the underside of the rug on which Nora's body was found. And so he said it appeared that both women had been raped with the brass mounted handle of a whip.
Oh, my
it just,
God.
It gets a bit weird though. Like you'll see, like it's kind of confusing. Like that's fucked, but it's all kind of alleged. Right. Because firstly, the police couldn't find the whip.
So where did he get that idea from?
No idea. His sick brain. He's just like come up with this idea, I guess. I don't know. And then, oh fuck, there's so many weird things. So I'm just going to keep going with the crime scene.
Okay.
Because let's get all that weirdness out of the way and then we're going to come back to some things.
Okay.
So then Menil had later testified that although Michael's hands weren't tied when he first saw the body, it appeared that his hands had been tied behind his back at some point with one holding an open purse. And all other witnesses said that Michael's hands were never tied, but that a breaching strap lay nearby and that an empty purse was lying a short distance from the body. When his body was removed from the site, Michael was then found to have the breaching strap between his untied hands with the empty purse held in one. So the witnesses, aside from Menil, because that's all very confusing, all the other witnesses say that they saw him hands untied, there was a strap, and then there was a coin purse. And then Menil is the only one that's like, yes, his hands were tied behind his back, which is they were when they took him away with this coin purse. So there's this sort of like, well, what the fuck? Tampered? Like someone's tampered with it. There were 15 shillings that were known to have been in the purse the night before. I don't know who said that. Probably like one of like Mary or Daniel, the parents, that would have been about $100 now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's speculated someone took it. And so there's like Menil potentially is one of them.
Oh no.
Could have been Gilbert, who was the guy that was left behind when the police dude went back to call Brizzy.
Mm-hmm.
Basically somebody has taken the money and then tied his hands up and put the purse in it, which
fucked
is
up.
It's so fucked up. Like, I'm sorry, I know it's $100.
I reckon it was Menil. He's the only one saying his hands were tied.
And Menil.
Isn't that his brother-in-law?
Yeah. Well, wait. Just wait. Just you wait, Menil. Anyway, so all those original postmortems, so all of that information, that came from Dr. von Lossberg, right? And Sergeant Arrell was supervising that. But then information went from the Brizzy people that had been there up to Chief Inspector Stewart, who was back in Brisbane.
So yep.
As far as I can tell, he doesn't really get involved in the case aside from this moment. He's like the deputy, so he's quite high up. He interviews some people or reads interviews with people or something, and he's kind of like, I think Michael might have been shot in the head, and this isn't coming through on the autopsy that I've been given.
Mm.
So he ordered that the bodies get exhumed because they've been buried.
Oh, God.
And to do another postmortem.
Right.
And although decomposition was advanced, it was found that Michael had indeed been shot in the right side of his head and then subsequently struck on the same spot with a blunt instrument.
Oh.
So it partially obscured the bullet hole and then the bullet was recovered from the skull. And then it all kind of comes out in the Royal Commission that Dr. von Lossberg had not performed a post-mortem because he was suffering from blood poisoning or something.
What?
He's like, I had blood poisoning. I thought I had, but I didn't or something. It's like along those lines. It's basically like this whole time in the Royal Commission.
Just useless people everywhere you turn.
But he's particularly fucked because he didn't do his job, it seems.
He had one job.
He literally had one job. He didn't do it at all properly. And then he's like, they had blood poisoning, that's why. Which is like, mate, no. You can. We're not going to start using fake sicknesses to explain.
No, that's not an excuse.
Being shit. And like, if you have blood poisoning, just go get that sorted out.
Yeah.
Go.
And say, I can't do this. I'm sick.
Taking
Call
a sickie.
Call another doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Who will do the job properly.
Yeah.
Don't do it half-assed.
Yes. So that was all pretty shit. And the thing with all with the rape and the whip.
Yeah.
Is that, and I didn't include this in here, but there was sort of stuff to do with the second postmortem that came up with, but they couldn't determine if they'd actually been raped because the bodies were obviously too decomposed. So they found bruising on the thighs. Mm. There was more on Nora than there was on Ellen. And I think they sort of put a lot of things together with the blood. They just assumed.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can ever be 100% certain. And things get really weird later, which we'll get to. And, yeah, so we're not sure. And I don't know where they came up with the whip element when they couldn't find the whip. But
maybe because there was no seam and they're like, well, it would have to be an object.
Yes, I think that was kind of what he was implying there. But then I don't know why he's decided this brass whip thing that then no one can find.
Yeah.
So weird unless he did it.
Oh my god.
this is almost equivalent to us trying to make connections to Glenelg. So we haven't had many connections to Glenelg for a while.
Maybe it's not the Hellmouth anymore.
No, it is definitely the Hellmouth.
I think Sydney's northern beaches are.
Well, but there's a few. Separate. Maybe we've got a few Hellmouths around here. Anyways, there's another murder that likely happened a few weeks before, but they didn't find out about until after they found out about the Gatton murders, and they're usually tied together. It's called the Oxley murder, and that was basically – I'm not going to go too deep into it because we've – no time.
Yeah.
But this boy, Alfred Hill, went missing on December 22. So these guys went missing Boxing Day.
Okay.
And his body was recovered on January 7 in 1899. So because obviously we're at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So there are heaps of similarities between the two, which are both murders committed on holiday. The victims in both cases were either taken or persuaded to go off the road.
Mm.
Each crime was committed only a short distance off the road. Both victims were shot in the head behind the right ear. Both horses shot in the forehead. A .380 cartridge was found at both murder scenes. Only one cartridge was found, though two shots were fired in each case.
Mm.
So whoever did it picked up one cartridge but not the other.
They police their brass.
They police their brass like 50%?
Yeah.
In both cases, which is wild. Heaps more. Robbery was money only, like some weird boring shit that like I don't really know. But a lot of things. And also, a swagman, or at Gatton, an unknown man, was seen on the road just prior to each murder. We'll come back to that. So it's weird shit is going down. There's like two murders near each other, sort of, with very similar stuff going on. But that's all the backstory.
Okay.
This is now suspects and theories.
Oh, okay.
What were you going to say?
I was just thinking about bush rangers and bad people.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, we're in peak bush ranger time. Yeah, this bit, like
lurking around, killing people for money.
Mm-hmm. So there, a bunch of people came under suspicion for the crime, and then there were a bunch of people that, because it's a small town, or like it's a small town, even if it was a big town back then, it's still 400 still people. There was
people
a lot of rumors going around and like hearsay and talking and.
Yes.
Gossip mongering.
There's been a murder.
There's been a murder. Who may it have been? What is this? I don't know what this voice is that I'm doing. But let's start with Theo Farmer, alias Thomas Day.
Oh, he's got an alias. He's got an alias. Sus.
I know.
That's sus as.
So he was the prime suspect. Suspect. And he was an itinerant labourer who, at the time of the Gatton murders, worked for the local butcher A.G. Clark, and he lived in a hut that was only 300 metres from the murder site.
He did it.
He fucking did it. And then, you know what's great? All these people are fucking dead. We can say whatever we want about them.
We can just lay the blame.
We can just...
Anywhere we want.
Anywhere. Anywhere
he
we
stole
want.
The money. He did the murders.
Yep. So in the 1899 Royal Commission that I kind of referenced before, so that was opened up into the murders, obviously, because it was quite a massive thing, like three people dead. No real clues as to how or why is big news in Queensland. So one local woman said she saw a man on foot chase the Murphy sulky as it passed on its way to the dance,
To the dance.
Weird. Yep. This man had been standing opposite the slip rail, blocking the little known access road that led to the murder location. So he would have been, I guess he would have been standing in front of, is what they're kind of meaning. Because... Otherwise, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. She wasn't able to identify him.
Meaning she didn't know him or she didn't get a good enough look.
Either or, not sure.
Because in a small town, if she didn't know him, that would be a big clue that it was.
I have a feeling she wouldn't have been able to identify him because it was late at night. So even if it was daylight savings up there. Oh my God, did they even?
In 1898.
Oh my God. Just the casual daylight savings that they implement because they fucking have like what? Do they even have watches back then?
Does time exist?
Yeah. Are we back in sundial times? Oh my God. Fucking hell. Yeah, so pre daylight savings, even if it
Australian
was.
It would have been daylight savings.
It's December.
It was holiday time. Also,
Queensland doesn't even have daylight savings. No, they don't do it. I've never had it. So everything about my point is moot. Yeah. Okay, well, whatever. Fuck it. At 8 p.m. it would have been dark. The end is what I'm saying.
Even in daylight saving
even
time.
Even in daylight saving in New South Wales, which it's not in, it would have been dark. So she wouldn't have been able to use her sundial. And she also wouldn't have been able to see his face, is what I assume.
Poor woman.
Day had also been seen by a number of other people on earlier nights walking along that road. And Thomas Day said at the Royal Commission that he'd gone to bed at 7 p.m. and hadn't been seen at a fireworks display at the local butcher's property where he was employed and staying. So that's weird and confusing. He's saying, no, I went to bed at 7. I didn't even go to this fireworks display. Why would I not go to that? I work for the man and I live on his property.
That kind seems of thing. Like a very flimsy excuse.
So fucking like, flimsy.
You have to believe that I was in bed. Because if I wasn't, I'd be fucking getting lit at this fireworks display.
But also I'd be like, bitch, if fireworks are going off like outside your fucking hut.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you're not fucking sleeping. That's bullshit to me.
In fact, it's the perfect time to shoot someone because no one can hear it.
It is the perfect fucking time to shoot somebody and murder a horse. It's the perfect time.
I hate that the horses got murdered in these two stories.
It's very mean. Don't worry about the people, just the horses.
These innocent people.
Oh my God, I care way more about animals than people. I get very upset. We know this. John Wick, we know. Anyway. And then another witness claimed that he had seen Day washing blood from a pullover a few days later. I'm sorry, are you going to try and tell me you cut a pig's head off or something?
Yeah.
I just...
Well, he was a butcher. Wasn't he?
Yes.
So he could use that excuse.
It's like a really credible excuse just for him.
Like, this is literally the only person in this story that could use that excuse.
Oh, my God. He, like, has the perfect alibi.
You're like, are you going to tell me you were slaughtering animals as your day job?
Imagine me as the lawyer at this Royal Commission. I would have been like, well, it was daylight savings, judge and jury. So it was not daylight savings. Why was he washing his jumper of blood? Was he killing an animal? Yes, I was cutting up the meat for the store the next day. Fucking
hell. Then you're like, no further questions.
I would like to excuse myself.
The defense rests forever.
And then just like run out the back. I don't want any money. Just let me go. I'm so sorry. This is weird, but I don't really get this, but I should include it because it's kind of important, but I don't understand this. I've read it 3 times and I don't get it. So this constable guy gives evidence. He's got a name, but who cares?
Mm-hmm.
At the commission that he suspected it was Thomas Day who was handed the revolver used in the Oxley murder by Edward Lytton Carus Wilson, who was the prime suspect in the Oxley murder, and that it was the same revolver used in the Gatton murders. But, like,
where did he get that from?
Where is this coming from?
That's like, defamation.
You suspected. I think.
I just have a hunch.
I have a vibe.
He gave the vibe to him. They each killed these people.
Well, so Carus Wilson...
Mm.
Was the primary suspect in? They're both unsolved. He was the primary in Oxley.
Okay,
I'm not going into it. I don't care, Josie, and I don't know.
Another person more died. Important.
Yeah,
but this constable for some reason thinks that
guy
suspect then said, "Here, have this gun to do your things with," and then he,
well, not necessarily to do your things with, but just here, this gun.
Here, have a gun, and then he was like, "Oh, I'm going to do a murder too."
Yeah,
so this constable for
the
some
gun is haunt
reason
is what is the answer.
Possesses
here. The gun is the demon.
This constable thinks two different people did this, and explains the gun link
by saying
they knew each other and he handed it to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where that's that thing. This is sus as fuck. Two weeks after the Royal Commission, Thomas Day said, "I don't like my employer's food," packed up his gear and just disappeared. Just disappeared. And
two weeks later.
The last known spot that he was that he enlisted in the military sometime later, but he deserted in May 1899 and was never heard of again.
Mm.
Wait, was... Oh, yeah, no. Okay. fucking hell, this gets so confusing. No, because I was like, wait, he comes back, but it's kind of different. Wait.
Right.
We're getting there. So.
So did he disappear or not?
I don't know. I'll tell you. It's becoming a mess. It's a mess, I'm telling you. Anyway, I think I'm going to get us back on track. Okay. I feel like we're the wobbly-wheeled sulky.
Yeah, the sulky.
We've veered off. We've gone through the slip rail,
mm-hmm.
but we're not going to get murdered. We're going to keep going.
Turn things
we're
around.
We're going to come around back through the slip rail in a minute.
Okay.
We're going to get there.
I hope so.
also in 1906, so this is years after all of this happened,
uh-huh.
a revolver with four spent chambers was found in the swamp paddock on the Gatton side of Clark's butchery where he was employed.
No.
So all up, four shots were fired between the Oxley and Gatton murders. So it's pretty almost sure that that's the revolver, and it's pretty sus that it was near the butcher.
Right near where he worked.
Yes.
Cutting pigs' heads off in his jumper.
Yeah, just cutting his pigs' heads off. So that whole thing with Karis Wilson and Thomas Day,
mm-hmm.
it was rumoured that they were both related to some, quote, might magnate, which comes from the Royal Commission. Which means like a mighty, like a very influential, important person.
Oh.
And this was all from Wikipedia, so I have no idea where this is from. Mm-hmm. There was no mightier magnate than William Farmer, who left Australia for England in 1874, which was the year Theo Farmer was born.
And
remember that
that
was his, like, other name. Yeah.
His alias.
So that theory is saying that he was the son of this really powerful man.
Uh-huh.
And that
maybe that other
this
bloke
other
was.
Guy is related to him or something.
Well, usually I'm just going to generalize here, but usually powerful men swing their dicks around everywhere and have illegitimate kids. So
yes,
he's probably like his
half
brother.
They love it.
They can't stop.
They love sticking their dick wherever they can,
stop.
Wherever they're allowed.
They just get it out everywhere.
Yeah.
And they love to just have
babies. They love illegitimate. They love it. It's like, great, more.
All powerful
men do this.
All of them do it. Facts with Josie and Mel. So I think we're going to – woo, I hit the microphone. Everything's happening. I think we're going to get back on track, but it's going to get a bit more wobbly for a second.
Okay.
I think we're getting there. I hope you're all following at home.
I'm following.
Well, Josie's following, but I don't know if everyone else is following. You just know what I'm like, so I feel like you've – put it together in your head. Mm-hmm. So then we're sort of back and he's in Sydney Hospital.
Who?
Thomas Ferner. No, Thomas Day. But now his
Thomas
name's Thomas.
Ferner.
Well, that's now his name.
What?
So his name was Thomas Day, which was his fake name. His real
now
name.
He has a third fake name.
Yeah, his real name is Thomas Theo Farmer.
Yeah.
And now he's made his name Thomas Ferner,
so
which is sort of like a
third
weird
alias.
It's like very close to his real name, but just a little bit away.
It's like when I used to write things that I didn't want to put my name on.
Yeah.
My workmate said, make it something close to your actual name.
Yeah.
So that you could still claim it if you wanted to, but it's far enough away. Maybe that's what he was doing.
Yes, probably.
Close enough, but far enough away.
Well, it's like I feel like he was trying to hint at something because he basically writes this note, which apparently said some very specific stuff about the Gatton murders, but it was omitted when it was published in the Western Australian.
I thought it was in Sydney.
Well, I don't know why it was published in the Western. Or maybe the Western Australian was like the Western of New South Wales. Maybe they hadn't even gone over to Perth yet. I don't even know when we went to Perth. Like, I don't know. Was it like America where they slowly made it across the country? Who knows?
I don't know.
We don't know. The point was this is definitely in the Western Australian.
Okay.
So he dies.
Oh.
And
in
this
hospital.
Letter. Yeah. And this letter is left.
Uh-huh.
And it says a bunch of stuff that's omitted. Like there's an intro bit and then
yes.
it's a bunch that's omitted.
Like
and
the
then
Peter
the end,
Falconio
yes,
letter with all
yes,
the
Yes, exactly like
out.
That. And the end said, I know the public may wonder, but I do not wonder as I am quite sure the case was to be kept quiet among the police. Which I think is about time they were shown up. So hoping the Gatton affair will go ahead. So it's kind of hinting like he knows who did it, whether it was him, whether it wasn't.
But
there's stuff in there
that there's a cover up.
Yeah, and he names people in there.
Oh,
but yeah, it just never got released.
But then where's the letter?
Well, I don't fucking know. Maybe they chucked it out.
But surely they made a copy.
I mean, we know what police are like. Let's they go put back it in to the Somerton Man. Yeah, exactly.
Tossed it off Glenelg Pier.
They probably just were like, that's done. Burn it. And if they were covering it up, of course they're going to fucking burn it.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's him.
But the paper had the letter.
Yeah, but the paper, like maybe the paper got it with the omitted bits.
Right.
Like if the doctors, I don't know, someone knows something back in 1898. Someone knows something, 1898
this?
Edition.
When was
1900.
This?
1900.
Wow.
Mm.
So you didn't last very long.
No.
After
Pretty, I think I didn't see it mentioned specifically. I just saw one reference to suicide. So I don't know if he killed himself in hospital.
And that was or a if he tried to note. Kill
himself and then got put in hospital. I don't know. It was kind of like
the trouble that with vibe. These old-timey cases is there's no fucking information.
Yeah.
Everything's so vague.
There probably is information. I just got really tired of, like, I still got so much to go. So oh my I just God. Kind of got, okay. we've got kind of, not, I wouldn't say a top line because I think I've gone pretty deep, but yeah. like, there's going to be some shit that I didn't pick up on.
But you know, there's like, with the three people with the, okay, that's not a good example because the three people with the safe was actually in the story. But with old-timey cases, sometimes, like, you'll go, oh, and then, like, something potentially exciting is, like, a thread, but then there's just no more.
Yeah.
And you can't find it out because there's no resources because it was all in old-timey papers and not online.
And no one thought, I'm going to chase that up. Like,
yeah, and maybe they did, but it just hasn't been recorded.
Yeah. So the next guy is this guy called Richard Burgess, who was a bush drifter. So
he did it.
Basically like a bush ranger, sort of, but worse. Yeah. I feel like bush rangers, because I love Ned Kelly, which we're going to get to when we eventually do Ned Kelly. But
oh, my God, I thought you meant in this episode we're going to get to Ned Kelly.
No. But I just love him. Yeah. And I'm such a, like, Ned Kelly apologist. Whenever anyone's trying to tell me that Ned Kelly was, like, a bad guy, I'm like, no, read the fucking Drilldery letter, bitch. You'll see that he was a very lovely and charismatic and passionate man.
Yeah.
Who just wanted to be, like, a Robin Hood
figure.
He
was Robin Hood.
He was Robin Hood. And this I don't care guy. Who knows it. But this guy, I think maybe a bush drifter is like drifty.
Yeah, more drifty.
Drifty is a word that I actually do use to say sus.
Yeah, right. But
maybe that's where it comes from. He was released from prison shortly before the murder. And he had been in Gatton on December the 10th, so before the murder happened. And on unsolvedcasebook.com, it says, several witnesses made claims that seemed to point to Burgess as the killer. One farmer stated that Burgess had told him Michael had been shot in the head before the detail was common knowledge.
Well, because that had to be uncovered later.
Shot him, that's why. Yeah. And another said that Burgess had told him about three dead bodies found in Gatton again before it had become common knowledge. So it's like, if he did it, he was stupid.
Yes.
And was telling her, he was running his mouth.
Yeah.
Way too early. Mm. Like, you'd have to be running your mouth. Like, I mean, very I suppose, quickly. Well, no, because I suppose it would depend on when the town figured it out.
But weren't there a lot of people hanging around?
Yes.
And news travels fast.
But it could have been, like, he was in, because there's 40 people there, like, a bit out of Gatton. Maybe he was, like, running his mouth elsewhere outside of Gatton because he wasn't in Gatton anymore.
Right, okay.
So maybe he was, like, I don't know. Again, who knows, Josie?
Anyway, that's what I've heard. It's very sus that he very knew sus. All this stuff and was talking about it.
But a reliable eyewitness placed him over 20 miles away from Gatton on the night of the killings, and so he was kind of dropped as a suspect.
He had an alibi.
But we don't know. I mean, who's the alibi? What alibis in and of themselves are so weird to me. Like, unless 40 people saw you, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
You need to be in a fucking shopping centre for me to believe you.
Yeah, well, I think the police do take that into account. Like, if I said, oh, yes, I was with Mel last night, they wouldn't, because they'd be like, well, you guys are friends, so you're just covering up. But if 30 people saw you at a shopping centre,
moment. Yeah, and if he had an eyewitness that was like a butcher from some other town that has no connection,
whereas maybe the person going, oh, he said all this stuff, could have made that up.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, who do you believe?
Fine. That's fair enough. So the next one, which, like, all of this now going on from here gets more and more, like, conspiracy vibes.
Okay.
So we've got the family.
Yeah. No.
So according to the website gattonmurders.com, my favourite website, Screams of father, father, and shots were said to have been heard by two women that lived near the scene. And they said it sounded like a woman's voice. So was this, so this is where I've made this up completely in my head. Was the woman, well, I haven't completely because there's other people that have mentioned it, but was this Nora or Ellen, was the dad the one that killed them? Were they yelling like father, father as in don't? Yeah. Why would you be yelling that? But also this 1899 journalist did a summary of the Royal Commission. Mm. They don't have a name. I said she, but probably a man because back then they were really sexist.
Yeah, women were only allowed to tend huts.
Yeah, exactly. And they said that the Murphy family didn't want to give evidence and were actually quite like, you know,
resistant.
Hands off with the whole investigation. And the journalist made a suspicion of like, did they know the murderer and were they scared of future murders? Like, was there a cover up going on?
Yeah.
But Stephanie Bennett, who wrote this book about the Gatton murders, and I'll get to her a bit more soon. Well, I won't. That's really what she did. She wrote a book about the murders. But then the Brisbane Times article interviews her. That's that whole one is about. She dismissed it, saying that Urquhart was known to be tyrannical, the guy that was heading up the investigation. He came in from Brizzy.
Yes, yep.
So he was quite a douche, basically. Yeah,
right. So they just didn't want...
Yeah, well, apparently he was a real dick to Mary Murphy, the mum. Mm. So apparently she then was put off.
Yeah.
Like, which makes sense if he was being really, like,
and it would be hard to relive all that stuff. Yeah,
and he was probably just being really insensitive. Like, she just lost three kids.
Yeah.
Very brutally.
Mm-hmm. Just because she's having a good time. Seven more doesn't mean that makes it any easier.
Exactly. And it sounds like Michael was, like, the shining star of the family. Like, he was off...
hot Michael.
...investigating things in gardens or whatever he was doing.
Mm.
But speaking of family conspiracies and weird things, there's this whole thing about illegal abortions now.
What?
Well.
Oh, my God.
You know I said GattonMurders.com?
Yeah.
Had that weird section and I, like, couldn't understand it?
Yes.
So it literally has this thing that says illegal abortion and then underneath it are all these different links and I was, like, clicking through them because I was like, that's weird that this is here. And as I'm clicking through them, it's just information about other illegal abortions and deaths resulting from illegal abortions at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But then I sort of put two and two together and I went, oh, is he like hinting, as the person that runs this website, like implying that potentially the fact that Nora was found on the rug with the blood
was
this whole thing like a setup of like an illegal abortion? Maybe they all knew about it. And they were helping her out. They were taking her to this abortionist and then all shit goes wrong and then potentially someone kills them to cover it all up.
Yes.
Which is weird.
So the bleeding from the vaginal area was unrelated to the attack that killed all of them.
Yes.
Like she might have already been bleeding.
Yes. And that isn't completely bizarre to me because if you think back then.
Well, they've only just decriminalised it today in New South Wales.
And Queensland was only like last year. Mm. So it's definitely a crime back then and it's very much more of a crime back then.
And very like, you know, especially if, was she married?
No, she wasn't married. So she was still single. But also there were rumours of, let me start again. So then there was this other whole rumours situation going on, right? Mm. That there were claims of incest in the family.
Oh no.
Yeah. So there was specifically claims of incest between Michael and Nora.
No.
Yes.
Hot Michael, you just lost all your hot points. Look,
Stephanie Bennett doesn't believe it.
Okay.
She said it was totally unfounded and it made it worse for the family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's included in a lot of other stories about them, this rumour. So it must have been a pretty strong rumour going around at the time.
Yeah.
There was an article on the NY Daily News, which is weird, and I forgot to include it, but I'll include it in the list, that I also read that included the theory and said once it emerged that the neighbour was shouting father, sorry, that the not the neighbour, that once it emerged that the neighbour heard someone shouting father, there were theories that the dad had killed the children to cover up incest.
Oh, but what about the other sister?
Well, maybe she was just there with them and she wasn't meant to go. Maybe he was like, this is a chance to do it. I don't know. Maybe
sleeping with both of them.
Well, it was also like maybe, I mean, you'd have to be a pretty cold father to just be able to kill three of your kids.
Fuck.
Because two of them were fucking. But it kind of plays a bit more into that, was it an abortion gone wrong situation?
Yeah.
There was also suggestions the town's priest was to blame. or that one of the seven siblings was involved. Yeah. Mm. But there's just all this talk about this abortion thing. And to me, the whole thing with Nora being away from the others on a rug, neatly on her back, and then there's blood underneath the rug.
Yeah.
But there's no semen that they found. Yeah. And then...
and the whip wasn't actually there.
Yeah. And they couldn't actually determine anything with the autopsy because they were really decomposed. So there's potential...
like today, with today's technology, you'd be able to tell she was pregnant.
Yes.
Or had been pregnant recently. But not old-timey 18.
And like... I don't know about the incest stuff, but it's like, I guess if you were stuck in that position, if she was close to her brother and sister, she might be like, please help me, please take me to...
yes, maybe the dance was a fucking ruse.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that the dance was bullshit. But then they turned up at the dance, so I don't know. But then you don't know if they turned up to pretend again, you know, like, I don't know. Who fucking knows? The point being, like, there could be all sorts of little offshoots to that, but it... the physical evidence to me doesn't discredit it.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Yeah. So then we have revenge. Mm-hmm. So all these Murphys were not necessarily being nice people.
Okay.
So Menil, back to Menil for a second, he had an allegedly rocky relationship with the family.
Wait, can you remind me of his relationship to the family?
He is married to Polly,
right?
Who is the oldest daughter. Yeah. So... apparently he wasn't super into the Murphys as a vibe.
Right.
But his alibi was watertight, apparently.
Mm.
But it's sort of, you know, it's worth mentioning, I feel.
But I
Well, his alibi is watertight, but that doesn't mean that other people can't kill them, you know.
Yeah, this is true.
And then there's the whole thing with the purse, obviously.
Ugh.
Taking the money from the purse. Potentially. Don't even need to say potentially. Can just accuse him of it if I want to.
I reckon he definitely took the money from the purse.
Nora, who I thought this whole time was a sweet baby angel, was apparently, according to Stephanie Bennett, had a few years before the murder gotten into this psychological battle, that's quotes from Stephanie, with a local school teacher.
Mm.
And she harassed the woman at her home and sent reputation-damaging letters about her to a Queensland newspaper. And the school teacher eventually went mad.
What?
Yeah, and her sister vowed revenge. So it's like, that's pretty so fucking heavy. On. I know. So Nora's maybe not as nice as I just assumed she was because she got murdered. Like, I don't know why I decide people that get murdered are all innocent.
Yes.
I mean, they're innocent in the terms that they shouldn't be murdered, but that doesn't mean they're good people.
Yes, there's grey areas.
So that's pretty sus.
Awful.
Yeah. She sounds like a real bitch.
But then I wonder what the
teacher... but maybe the teacher was the bitch.
What the teacher did to deserve
that. And then she's like,
that.
Oh, I went crazy.
Mm.
Maybe the teacher's the bitch. We don't know, Josie. We shouldn't be throwing blame around willy-nilly, but yet I want to and I will.
We want to because we can because everyone's dead.
And I love it.
And it happened so long ago.
So nice not having to be careful. And then Michael was supposed to be a bit of a douche lord.
No, not hot Michael.
Hot Michael was fucking around town.
What? He was hot.
He was hot and he was fucking around
fucking
town.
Fucking hell. Why are all hot people such assholes?
I don't know. Why can't they just not? Just pick a nice...
just be like hot and
person
nice.
And settle down on a little prairie, you know, with a hut.
It's such a shock when hot people are nice.
Yes.
Because you just assume...
I assume anyone that is ridiculously hot is the worst.
Yeah, and you're like... oh. They're actually super down to earth and nice.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they're allowed to be assholes.
Yes, exactly.
Fucking Michael. So he was fucking
everyone. Michael was apparently fucking around town and allegedly was the illegitimate father of some rando kids.
See? Yep. Powerful, hot men love to have illegitimate
kids.
Well,
he wasn't really powerful, but he was hot.
He was hot.
Powerful or hot men.
Yeah.
And or. And if you're a powerful, hot man, you're extremely fucked.
Oh,
You're the most douchey of douche lords.
Stop
you
throwing your dick around.
All you do, your career becomes finding women who want to fall for you and have sex with you, so that you can put a baby in them, and just your babies are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You just have no idea where and who and why or anything. But apparently, one of the women that Michael got pregnant died during childbirth.
Uh oh.
And then there was this whole thing of, like, rumours flying that the family wanted revenge.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all very rumour-based, the whole family and revenge stuff. It's not based on any like evidence, but then it's back then. How would you have much evidence? You don't have like text messages that you can fucking whip out. Like you're probably meeting up stealthily in the night. You're probably like saying, hey, let's meet on the third moon of the solstice.
Check under your sundial.
Ye tree, yo, on Londa. Londa. It's not even a word. Check your sundial.
Check your sundial and when it's down the bottom bit, I'll go stand over Londa. And I'll meet you under the sycamore tree.
Yeah.
I don't think we have sycamore trees here.
What even is a sycamore tree?
I don't
tree?
Know. I've gotten it from some old timey shit.
I thought it was from Pocahontas.
Do they have sycamores?
I don't know.
In
isn't
them?
It like how long the river flows, you know, up high.
Oh, yeah. The song.
Can you paint with all the colours of the wind?
And you sing with all the voices of the mountain.
Can you something to the something? What is it?
I don't remember.
And the height of something. It's like, what I love about rivers is you can't step in the same river twice is the bit that I know.
Oh, right.
The water is always changing, always flowing. We're going to get there.
I don't
remember.
But
people say something, live like that. We all must something. Just around the river bend. This is a whole different song. I've gone to a whole different Pocahontas song.
It wasn't my fave.
Well, that was the one that I'm thinking has the trees. Oh, fucking hell. Someone is screaming at their radio right now.
Someone's.
They know the sycamore tree reference.
Someone's kid is in the background.
Yes, singing
because
it.
Because they love Pocahontas.
Yes.
And they're screaming at us.
My sister loved Pocahontas. Really? So I know. That's why I know all those words.
Right.
But
I was definitely
I was
a
Beauty
Lion
and the Beast.
King's gal.
Okay. I was Beauty and the Beast. She was Pocahontas.
Right.
We both liked Lion King.
Yeah.
And we both liked Aladdin. But anyway, this
yes.
is irrelevant. The
Aladdin's
Disney segue.
My number two.
This accidental Disney segue. By the way, someone feel free to post the entire lyrics to both Just Around the River Bend and Colors of the Wind, the two songs that I put together. Anyway, if there's a sycamore tree in there, I'll love myself. So the last real theory before
okay.
my batshit theory.
Oh, God. Okay.
Is probably the most credible because it's the one Stephanie believes and she spent 10 years studying this
She's
case.
She's the fucking expert. She's the gastroenterologist.
She knows shit. And I just, it makes sense. It ties everything together in a neat little
bow.
I
believe Stephanie.
I believe Stephanie too. She's a bit of a bad bitch. She looks like a bad bitch. She looks like someone that like has spent 10 years studying something and knows her shit. And
yeah.
she'd probably listen to this and yell at us.
Oh, God,
but
I
Stephanie,
hope she doesn't listen to it.
Well, I've credited her about 30 times.
Yeah, but she'd be just annoyed at like us seeing Pocahontas.
Well, sorry, but that's what we do.
Unless
that's
she's
what we do
also
here.
A big Disney buff.
Maybe she'd love it. Maybe she's like, fuck, yeah, Pocahontas. I was
it's a great
thinking,
combination.
I was thinking of Pocahontas while I was researching this horrible
I had
murder.
I soundtrack on every day.
Yeah.
I was poring over old-timey books in
yep.
the library.
So she pins the murders on a group of scoundrels,
uh-huh.
she calls them. I'm doing inverted commas because it sounds like a funny word, but back then it was actually like meant shitheads, basically.
Okay.
Real dastardly, horrible people.
Just like criminals.
Yeah.
Right.
And they'd been known...
Like a gang.
Yeah. They'd been terrorizing the Gatton area a bit.
Uh-huh.
She says that Urquhart, who led the, you know, the dickhead that
yeah,
led the investigation.
Fuckwit from Brisbane.
Mm-hmm. Made the grave error of assuming the murder was done by a roving swagman. So he basically got on this bend and then wouldn't get off it.
I hate that when
yeah.
they get tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so many cops do that.
Uh-huh.
Like they just get so like bogged down in this like, no, it's got to be
it's
this
gotta be
theory
this.
That
so
I came up with.
They don't look at the other options, you know?
It's like in Mindhunter.
I was going to say, it's like Mindhunter where he is very,
mm-hmm.
I say every character's a man except
yep.
one. He gets on that and then the other one's like, no, we should be looking at this. And
yeah. But if you haven't watched it, no one would know what you're talking about.
No, because I'm not making any sense.
Yeah.
But there was no other person in this case to tell Urquhart not to have tunnel vision.
Yeah, and he had a real chip on his shoulder. There was this whole boring thing that I didn't include, but I'll just Cliff's notes it for you and I'll botch it really badly.
Okay.
This is a real botched version of this, but there was some sort of police spicy gossip going on, a little bit of zesty police drama.
Oh, yeah, I love
where,
that.
Like,
Blue Heelers, but 1898.
Yes. Oh, my God, I need to rewatch Blue Heelers.
I want to rewatch McLeod's now that we've talked about it.
Mm, I think I might too, actually.
It's on Stan.
I might do it too.
That's actually not sponsored,
it's
not, Stan.
No, it's really not.
Like, the part of the podcast is.
I know.
But this part
is. This was just unintentional Stan appearance of McLeod's daughters.
Do they have Blue Heelers?
No, but I think Nine now does. But then they might not. If they definitely had it, I would have watched it by now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I don't think Blue Healers is anywhere. Hey, Stan, if you're listening to this,
definitely you can get it. Blue Healers and All Saints.
Oh, fuck yeah. All Saints. Mm. Shit, yeah. Mm-hmm. Zesty drama in a hospital.
I need.
Nurses fucking doctors.
I need zesty Australian drama for my mat leave, and I need it now.
I need it right now. And it needs to be from 1995. Should we get
rid of all of our streaming? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
You're like, I don't have a fucking baby on my boob. I'm about
to be up all hours attached to a baby.
I need McLeod's daughters. I need to get overly invested in people's lives where they're not pregnant and they're not having babies such as hits.
Fixing they're just fences.
Riding around fences.
All bloody day. And they're with just amazing tans.
Really hot.
Yeah.
And like their boobs are really high up.
Yeah. And those kind of mid-rise jeans that I probably won't ever be able to wear again.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even wear them again. So yeah, I don't think I've ever. That's just a 30-something-year-old problem, not a baby problem. This is the segue of the century.
What are we doing?
I was telling you that Urquhart the asshole.
He's a dick. And you said there was zesty, spicy police gossip. Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, so the zesty, spicy police gossip is that Urquhart got promoted and then someone else got promoted.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person that – maybe it was Urquhart was being like a real like – he was basically like, ha-ha, I have the power now. I'm going to be a total cunt and like just like – boss everyone around for no reason. You know, like one of those bosses that just like bosses people around for no reason.
Just
dick swinging.
For the sake of
dick
it.
Swinging.
Dick swinging.
He was dick swinging all over the place.
Not in a sexy, hot Michael way.
No, like in an annoying Urquhart
in
way.
In a like authority.
Yeah. Like
your penis is your authority.
Yes.
Not your sexuality.
Yes. And I don't know if that was him or if that was a person above him, but there was all this tension with the police in Brisbane. But he was just known for being a bit stubborn and bullheaded and pig-headed and all the heads. Yeah. He had multiple heads, like a bull and a pig.
The head that old mate cut off and got all over his jumper.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So he, and this is all from Stephanie, he didn't think there was any involvement in Gatton at all, which was wrong because at least half a dozen of the young men were there at the crime scene.
At the crime scene?
Well, I don't really understand this quote. It just came out of nowhere. Like, I think what she's saying is that they would have come back to see it.
Oh, like there was some of the people
and they were just
milling
like
around.
Milling around like creepy weirdos.
I hate that people were milling around.
I think that's what she's saying there. But I think he was basically just blinkers on, I don't care, that's not what happened. And she was also saying like it couldn't have been just one person, but he was like obsessed with it being
one person.
Well, Michael's a muscly big man. Exactly.
He's powerful. He's strong. He's sexy.
Mm-hmm.
How could one person?
It is impossible to take down a hot, sexy man.
A powerful, strong, sexy man. Plus two women and a horse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
There's a lot going on.
There's so much going on. She thinks the murders were a revenge attack based around this shearer's strike that had happened in 1891.
Wow, that's a grudge to hold.
Yeah.
7 years.
7 year grudge. She said that one man, Joe Quinn, was the ringleader of the attack on these three. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was a career criminal who knew Michael because Michael Murphy revealed him to be a known felon when he was masquerading as a barber. So Michael dobbed on him basically.
Right. And got him like fired or whatever.
Also, I just don't think
masquerading as a barber.
I don't think you should be shaving people's necks when you don't know what you're doing. I just don't think.
I also think, like, it's not like you were masquerading as, like, something really lucrative and then Michael has, like, ruined that for you. Like, you ruined my barber jig that I was.
My really low-paying barber job.
Like, how dare you?
Well, I guess it's, like, kind of the whole town would have known then that he's a criminal. He'd never get a job again.
Right.
But agreed. It's like if you're going to pick a fake job, I think you can do better than a barber. I think you could be the town.
A banker.
Yes.
And take all the money.
Bitch. And I think that you can do that without knowing what you're doing. Yeah. I would much prefer someone mishandle my money than cut my neck open because they didn't know what they're doing with their little shavy thing. Just reminds me of what's that American film? And it's got...
Oh, I don't know. Like, they don't make many movies.
Okay, it's Leonardo
there.
DiCaprio and Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, Gangs of New York.
Yeah, that's the one. That's what it reminds me of. I think there's like one scene in that whole film. I don't think, like, why wouldn't I go for like that one with Johnny Depp, the barber, the evil barber, like the barber of something street or whatever? Fucking barber of
Fuck.
England?
What was
that? The Barber of, the Barber of like Dulcie Lane?
Dulcie the Barber. Lane.
It was something like
was
that.
The was the musical.
The Barber musical. The Barber of... The Barber of Quincy Pie.
Fuck, what was it called?
It was something like that. It was something weird, like the Barber of Zippity Doodah or something, you know, like it was a stupid name.
Oh my god, we have to look it up or people are going to be so annoyed.
That's the second.
I want to keep wanting to say Sleepy Hollow, but it's not Sleepy Hollow.
No, I'm going to look it up. The Barber, Johnny Depp.
It'll say Edward Scissorhands.
Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
Colon, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Yes, Fleet
was
Street.
Was I not on point when I said it was like Zippity Doodah? And then I said Quincy Lane.
Yeah, it was pretty
Fleet
close.
Fleet Street, Sweeney. There was some cogs turning in the brain. There weren't many, but there was a few. it wasn't close at all. Oh, my God. This is like the two-hour episode.
Is it?
I don't know.
Day is it?
I don't even know. It's six. I'm meant to be at dinner in half an hour. So Michael has outed this person in town as
ruined
a criminal.
Ruined his barber career.
Apparently Quinn never forgave him. And when he was in prison, he said he swore he would murder him. So he's out of prison. He gets this local gang to help him and takes the ultimate revenge.
And kills.
Interestingly, she thinks one of the gang members was Thomas Day.
Oh, so she thinks
which
he
ties
was
him
involved.
In. Yes, but she doesn't say why. I mean, I'm sure she does in her book, but I didn't buy it, so I just got this
she
information.
She doesn't say why. It's her book, the way you're talking about it. Sounds like she's just spent years writing, like, things that don't make sense, just making accusations.
Just flinging shit at the walls.
Making
and
points
seeing what
that
sticks.
Don't come to a point.
Is that what the term is? Fling shit at the walls and see what sticks?
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, yeah. We're just throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks.
Okay. Well, then that's what I was implying, but then it wasn't
you
that at all.
You said fling, which was, I like it more because it's got more like kind
of
drama to it.
The drama of the arm flinging action. Anyway, we're never getting out of here. We're living here forever. We're in purgatory.
Oh, God.
We're never leaving. So, unknown maniac. So Unsolved
Maniac.
Casebook, my favourite website,
it.
Included an article from the Singleton Argus in 1901, which hints at someone being locked up for the Gatton murders.
Singleton, that's in New South Wales.
So it says, quote, "Gatton mystery is, of course, no mystery to the Queensland authorities," says a contributor to an exchange.
What?
Someone that was talking that we overheard.
Says a source.
"It will be remembered how the police suddenly stopped all investigation."
Uh-huh. Cover up, cover up, cover up.
"No useful purpose could be served by proceeding with the matter. The why and wherefore need not be published." I think that it need be published. Thank you very much. But
anonymous source.
You know. "A sequel of the horror is the insanity of a certain person who has been in an asylum for some time. The fact was charitably kept from the knowledge of the general public. It is, however, reassuring to know that the perpetrator of the triple murder is a lunatic. This is probably the last that will be heard of the tragedy that shocked Australasia and received a worldwide notoriety." So they're basically saying the guy's locked up. You don't need to know the details. It will just upset you.
Mm-hmm.
Just know he's locked up.
I don't get that reasoning,
though.
Because they're like, oh, it's better that they don't know that this guy's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
But isn't it good that he's locked up?
Like,
it'd be worse if he was a lunatic on the loose. I get that.
Yes.
And I get that you'd want to cover that up from general society to stop mass hysteria. But he's locked up. So why can't we just
know?
Why are we here hundreds of years later in a room in Sydney wondering about this?
I know.
This?
And, like, also why, like, I also feel like wouldn't the family like to know?
Mm.
I guess I didn't think like this back then, but I'm like, okay, so you reckon the lunatic's locked up and they just don't want to tell you 100% that that's what happened because they stopped investigating or some shit. But just, like, tell the family, for fuck's sake. But anyway, yeah, so I don't know. The last one that I had, which is so bullshit, and I've just made it up.
Okay.
Government experimental farm.
That's what I've been waiting
for. Okay, great. Okay.
It's got to have something to
do with
that. So
this is my only thing that is hinging this, our personal theory.
Yeah.
You know how all their feet faced west?
Yes.
Well, his farm was in Westbrook. It was literally west. It was west physically. I checked,
oh my
double
God.
Checked, just in case it wasn't. It just called Westbrook. But like, hello.
Yeah. It's got to have something to do with the farm.
Westbrook.
That's West weird. Feet. What were they experimenting?
Well, I don't know. It didn't. It sounded scarier on Wikipedia, and then in other times when they talk about it, they talk about like the government farm or the government-run farm. That so it's kind of like I have a feeling when they call it a government experimental farm, it's just like, can we grow tomatoes out here?
Oh.
Can we grow beans out here? Can we grow lettuce?
We're going to Pine Gap.
I'm like, there's aliens. There's fucking aliens.
We're at Pine Gap territory.
But we don't know. It's still government run.
Mm.
Who knows what they were actually doing out there?
They can say, oh, we're just seeing if we can grow tomatoes. But then you pick up the ground because it's actually a door. It's not actually ground.
Oh, I thought you were
going
to say they pick up the head and it's a baby.
No, they pick...
They're cloning people in the ground.
No, they pick up the garden bed because it's just a door. There's a whole secret Pine Gap underneath.
And they've made it look like really gardeny, like it's even mulch. Yep. Like you have to water the plants.
And
still.
What do the people that work at Pine Gap say they do for a living? They're gardeners. We've fucking linked the Gattons to Pine Gap.
It's done. There is no room for error in that link at all. Mm-hmm. It's actually perfect.
Yeah.
They were gardeners. They said they were actually gardeners. They said they were gardeners. They obviously said that because this was the original Pine Gap.
And they had to move it after this murder.
Yeah. And then they were like, also, let's just give a nod to the history.
Yeah.
A little nod to the ancient.
Homage.
A little homage there by being gardeners. That's fucking true.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, we've done it. We've solved the Gattin murders. So it was alien
related. We better
delete
this episode because it's not a mystery.
It's not a mystery. We fucking solved it. But also it's 6:10 now probably.
Yes.
We've been here forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end.
That's it.
Unless Josie has anything else to say.
Nah.
Bye.
Bye.